Hazrat Abu Razin radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrated a hadith from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this is in Shubul Iman. This hadith has been narrated, and he stated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to me, addressed me, and the words here are addressed, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam addressed me, spoke to me directly, that to you I will tell you such a thing. And these are the words, that shall I tell you the spirit, the root of such an action, of such a thing through which you will get the goodness of this world and the hereafter. MashaAllah, great statement and a great thing that was received. So this addressing, or this statement to Hazrat Abu Razin radiyallahu anhu, who stated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed me, but in reality the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was addressing the whole ummah. And alhamdulillah for the ummah, for the nation of the believers, this is a beautiful message that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave. A very big masala, very big predicament of ours. For that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a solution, an amal, an action that will solve that issue, that will assist that issue, the goodness in this world and hereafter. Because this is what our maqsad is, isn't it? This is our objective. And for this is such a big dua. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And this is a very important and big dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this in the Quran, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam practiced on this and recited this dua, reciting this after every salah, or reciting this after salahs. And this is ta'aleem for the ummah. And in this dua we ask for two things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this dua we ask for the goodness in this world and the goodness in the hereafter. For the goodness in both worlds. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to attain this goodness, Allah Ta'ala said, I'll tell you the ruh, I'll tell you the key point, the straightforward solution, that if you follow this advice, then you will have the ruh, the spirit, the root, the foundation of how to attain the goodness in this world and thereafter. You'll get it immediately. The goodness in this world and the goodness in the hereafter. Now, what is the goodness in this world? What is it? Now, we have our own, you could say, standards, and we have our own opinions, but we cannot have our own standard for the goodness of this world. Because if we do, then it cannot be the right one. It cannot be correct. Now, the goodness in this world, there's one standard that we have present with us. And the Sahabi Rasul, the noble companions, their lives that are in front of us, the example, that is the standard. So if we consider the goodness of the world to be the glow of the world, the wealth, the status and riches, and we are asking for this in this dua, that Allah give us the goodness of this world, that give us the goodness of this world, then in reality we will not attain the goodness in this world. Because on this, the goodness of the world, those who had attained this, they were the noble companions of the Allah anhum. They had the goodness in this world, and in their lives there was no riches or wealth, or was it? Or was there? Themselves, the Ahl al-Bayt, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's daughter Hazrat Fatima az-Zuhra radiyallahu anha, look at their lives. She didn't even have a blanket to wrap around her to wear properly. There was no food, no bread to eat in the house, to give the children the meal during the day. There was no food, there was no servant in the home, there was poverty and hunger, and the children many times used to have an empty stomach, and there were no clothes proper to wear. This was the ta'aleem, this was what they had learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So goodness of the world, that if we consider it to be wealth and money and riches, then if we're asking for this from Allah, then they should have had this. So why was there poverty in their lives? And their maqam, then what they had, the goodness of this world, what was the situation that we see, the way we see, but in the heavens the decision had been made that Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha is the head of the women of paradise. Yes, this is a maqam, even though she didn't have the material things of the world that we look for. And let's look at other companions radiallahu anhum, their lives. Which companion is it that we see used to eat to his fill in his stomach, or he had the ease of the world, or he had the luxury of the world? So the things they had, the goodness of this world, what was that standard that they had? And that's what we're asking for in this dua, remember. So that's what should be in our minds, that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taking us towards the goodness of this world. And what is he saying here? Hazrat Abu Razim radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah addressed me and said, shall I tell you that thing that will give us the goodness of this world? And what is that goodness? That was that goodness that those people had, the Sahaba had. And what did the Sahaba have? They had Radai Alahi. They had the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had Allah ta'ala's acceptance. This was the biggest wealth. And this is what this wealth is. Yani one Muslim, one believer, one mu'min, mu'mina, believer, man or woman, in this world should have such a life that is according to Allah ta'ala's happiness and pleasure. That Allah Ta'ala, that life is according to Allah Ta'ala's ahkams, orders. We should not do any action that causes Allah Ta'ala's displeasure. When a person attains such a life, then that is the best life in this world. The best life. Allah Ta'ala's raza, when it is there, that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with us, our work, our amal, our life, our direction should be such that Allah should be happy with us. For example, that our life passes according to all of the ahkams of Allah, orders of Allah. Allah Ta'ala's displeasure should not be in our life. And this life is then the best life that we are imagining, a good life. It's many times over better than that you attain satisfaction, peace, and mal. These things, wealth cannot give. But when a person lives the life according to Allah's pleasure, you get the peace and the contentment and the riches. And this is the goodness of this world. So if we can attain this, or if we want to attain this, then alhamdulillah, the biggest kings, we will get the life of kings. And even in poverty, we will live like the kings. A person who attains this goodness, this good life, he will attain this life in the world. And to attain this, what should we do? How do we attain this goodness in the world, in this life? How do we understand and bring this into our mind that goodness is this, that if we live a life according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ahkams, Allah ta'ala's orders, and we shouldn't do any work against the deen or Allah ta'ala's pleasure. So for this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that Abu Razin, to attain the goodness in this world, I will tell you the ruh, the spirit, the root, the middle point, the pivot to attain the goodness in the world. All the amal you do, this will be the best thing you can do to attain the goodness in this world. Imagine how great hadith this is. If there's a person looking for this, for the goodness in this world, if there's a person who wants that in this life, he, when he departs from this world, that Allah Ta'ala is happy with him. This is a very big thing. A very big thing. So whoever in this day and age takes a stride that he wants to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and depart from this world by pleasing Allah, and that Allah is pleased with us, that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with me, and that all my life is according to deen and contentment and peace, and my life is halal and I don't want anything unlawful in my life, then all the desires will come out for the imitation things, the temporary things, and he'll be satisfied with what Allah Ta'ala has given to him or her, and he'll be happy with what Allah Ta'ala has given to him, and he'll be happy in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the life of the dunya. And then the goodness for the akhirah, for the hereafter, oh mashallah, that's unlimited. In the world, the goodness will be unlimited, and in the hereafter, it will be unlimited. Allah Ta'ala is not put any limit. Allah Ta'ala says that goodness is this. Allah Ta'ala said that goodness is just in the world. Allah Ta'ala says, my pleasure is so great that you carry on, there will be no limit to what I give to you. And this is the goodness. Keep moving. And the same way, akhirah, the goodness in the akhirah, the style is the same. The condition is the same. So here Rasulullah is saying that, shall I tell you such a thing that you will get the goodness of this world and the goodness of the hereafter? Imagine then what we will get in the hereafter, because in the hereafter Allah Ta'ala says, carry on, continue, and it will not finish. To this extent that the balai, the goodness, will come in the hereafter, where we will have the sight of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This will be the miraj of the mu'min. But subhanallah, we have attained our objective today. That dua that we were asking, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban. This is the theme of the dua that we're asking. So when we ask this dua, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us the amal, the action, through his blessed companion. So if we do that action that was advised to Hazrat Abu Razin radiyallahu anhu in this hadith, a beautiful hadith, unique hadith, subhanallah, then how good it will be for us if we practice on this. How beautiful a life we will make if we have the maqsid, if we have the objective. So this is according to our objective. Somebody has a different objective, that my shop I want it to run, I want to extend my home, I want my son to become this. Every man has his own objective. May Allah Ta'ala make it that we have an objective that Allah becomes pleased with us. This is the objective we should have in front of us the whole life, that Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with us. So I will feel sleepy if I hear this message and I don't have this objective. If I have an objective, I have a big house and the business transaction, you just sign the contracts tomorrow, etc. So the person who have these objectives, he will not have this objective. He will not have this destination. But where the person has this same objective and I speak according to his objective, his eyes will open quickly. Oh, he's speaking about my business, or he's speaking about this or affair of mine. So we are speaking today about attaining Allah's pleasure. And those people who have an objective for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, their eyes will open today. Their understanding will open today. Their consciousness will open today. Allah, we're getting the secret today. Allah's merciful today. So we are, the problem is being solved today in life. If we do that amal that has been told to us, that action that has been told to us, that alhamdulillah, a big advert is coming from behind, then subhanallah, that's great news. That's our objective. We want to attain Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, and we are attaining the potion, the solution, the remedy, how to get this. So if this is our objective, then after today, alhamdulillah, we should understand this is a great ni'mah and gift and solution that we have attained, and we should be happy on this. We should have no further objective further than this. Everything else is a waste. Everything else is a waste. What link does it have with the true objective of Allah Ta'ala's pleasure? Ask a person who's passing away. They said to him that you're passing away. Tell me, I'm telling you the truth, that now is the time to die, but I want to ask you something. I want to ask you, tell me a secret. He said, what do you want to ask me? He said, you're about to depart, and they're speaking in the hospital on the deathbed, death point, that this moment in time, what is your desire? What is your desire? Great, great point here. So he looks back and he's leaving the whole world, his wife, children, house, business, signing this and that, all contracts, signatures, and he looks back and looks at all of the world and he can see it, and he looks further forward and he sees a new destination. A new destination. He's standing on such a point that he could say that greatest thing, he's presenting the conclusion of his life, and this will be a big lesson for us. And we are the same. We're all in the same boat. And this will be the hal when we leave this world. Remember this point. And he said, the truth, tell me, what is it? What is your desire at this moment in time? He said, you're asking me a question. You're asking a key question. So I will say to you now in response that I am departing. But there's one point in my mind, desire, that if only the time I spent in the world, if only I had pleased Allah Ta'ala in this life. So this time that I passed, and he looks back, turns his head, this time I spent it, if I had spent it in the path of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, what an important and great point. So we keep on pleasing the world. We want to please the world by this action, that let me make this person happy. This person's unhappy with me. This person distrusts me. That my employer's unhappy with me. My boss is unhappy with me. Everyone is unhappy with us, and we spend all our lives long pressing our hands. Please, can you be happy with me? I want to buy from you. Please, can you help me with me? I don't need to take money from you. Please, can you do this work for me? Oh, this employee of mine, playing not run away. Oh, may my objective not be a collapse. Oh, I want this and I need that. And all life long we run around in vicious cycles and circles. If only we could follow this one hadith, that Allah, you become pleased with us. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. And this is what we need to attain, this is what we need to target, and this is attaining the goodness in this world that we are asking for at this moment in time. This is the hukm that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave. This is such a dua, mashallah. You are people who have done umrah and hajj, And this is such a dua that from Rukn al-Yamani until Hajar al-Aswad, this dua is recited. From the corner of the Rukn, the corner of Yemen, Yemeni corner on the Kaaba, to the corner of Hajar al-Aswad and the Kaaba, this dua is recited. What a great dua this must be. And the objective of life is being told to us from Rukn al-Yamani, from the corner of Yemeni on the Kaaba to the corner of Hajar al-Aswad, the black stone. Rasulullah taught us that this is the life. You're doing tawaf. You need to please Allah and make the goodness of this world and the hereafter coming into your life. Make effort on this. This is what you have to do. This is what you have to do. Subhanallah. So this was an advice that was told to us about our objective. If we have this as our objective, that we live in our world in this life like this, and we want the goodness in the hereafter as well and success, then listen to this hadith clearly, attentively. Hazrat Abu Razin radiyallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me, addressed me, that shall I tell you the ruh, the spirit, the root, the foundation of such a thing, of such an action that will give you the goodness of this world, in this world and the hereafter. That whatever there is, whatever I'm about to tell you now, this is the center point, focal point, the pivotal point, and you will cross all boundaries and you will attain the goodness of this world and the goodness in the hereafter. Subhanallah. And then Rasulullah said, listen. Allah's Nabi said, listen. Listen, the people who do dhikr, attend the gatherings of dhikr Allah. Subhanallah. Imagine, we think that this is insignificant. We have no importance for dhikr. Tell me, do we have it? Do we have it? I ask you a question. I ask you a question. That do we have emphasis for the gathering of dhikr? This is a great, great action. What I say is that there's a karamat and there's a miracle, a wali of Allah. The Naqshbandi silsila mashayikh, the wali of Allah, is their karamah, their miracle, that we are sitting here in dhikr at this moment in time. Wallah, I swear by Allah, and I tell you this, that otherwise that the condition of this gathering of dhikr, if you start analyzing, then 99% are against this gathering, and 1% will say, yes, let's do this. Let's sit in this. This is the day and age we're living in, about this dhikr majlis I'm speaking, and about which the wali of Allah, I present you his statement, the wali of Allah, at that time, and subhanAllah, he was passing away. The wali of Allah, who you know and I know, and the whole world knows him, the whole of Bolton knows him, every child knows him, that wali of Allah. Every child knows him, woman, man, everyone knows his name. Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah. Do you know him? What will be his statement? Is there anybody who doesn't know him? Is there anyone who says that he's not a wali of Allah? Is there anyone who says he wasn't a great personality? I will present to you his statement. At the time he was passing away. And these people were the ones who understood. And he stated, I present his statement to you. And it's there in the kitabs, in the books, I will show to you. The statement is there. Subhanallah. And his statement is that our masajids, our mosques, our madaris, our institutes, our dini Islamic institutes, our mosques, our masjids, our madrasas, our Islamic institutes. Everyone is included in this now, and everyone's included in this statement. Imagine how great a personality was. Nobody can reject his statement. What he wanted, that he said, our deeni mashagil, our deeni institutes, our lives, our businesses, and the heavens, and the earth, and the mountains. Everything that is there is in existence due to the dhikr of Allah, due to the remembrance of Allah. And then he stated that Allah's mercy, Allah's barakah, everything is in the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah. And this is the point. And then the discussion ended there. The point ended there. Now tell me, from this hadith we've recited, and this statement of Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Rahmatullah Alayh, do the both not meet? Are they not compatible? Every one of them, every part of them is compatible with this world today. And today fasad, fitna, blood, and dishonor and murder will start at that time when the dhikr of Allah ends in the world. And masjids will be empty due to not doing dhikr. The Quran words, Quranic words, will just be blank empty words, but the reality of the Quran will disappear. Ramadan will come, but the fragrance of Ramadan will disappear. Tawaf will be there, but the reality of tawaf will disappear. It will be a weird generation. I'm telling you, according to the words of this hadith, and the reason for this is one, that Allah's Nabi said, this is the ruh, the pivotal point, the foundation of the whole life, of the objective of a person. The Rasulullah used the word that this is the spirit, the ruh. Abu Burazin, he addressed him, that I'm telling you, the ruh, the spirit, the foundation of life. And today, whatever Rasulullah called the foundation of ruh, we have wiped it away. So few will you see. This gathering you are looking at now, this is a miracle. What is the miracle? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that I will continue my dhikr. And this is the miracle of that statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala's mercy and karam, Allah ta'ala's special mercy and grace that He has allowed this majlis to take place. Otherwise, who am I, who are you, who are we sitting doing dhikr of Allah in the masjid? Remembering Allah, how has Allah Ta'ala said this? Abu Razin, Rasulullah said, Abu Razin, attend the gatherings of dhikr of Allah. And then on top of that, Rasulullah said, Subhanallah, that go to the gathering of dhikr of Allah, and when you are on your own, individually, then regularly, consistently keep on moving your tongue with the dhikr of Allah. And what will you attain? Guaranteed, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you will get the goodness of this world and you will get the goodness of the hereafter. You will depart from this world with the pleasure of Allah. You won't have to take anything, give anyone anything. You won't owe anyone anything. You won't need to worry about anyone. You won't need to run after anyone and plead or beg. And you will depart from here and you will rise with Allah's pleasure. You will have Quran, amal, action, salah. Everything you will take from this world, depart from, inshallah, with Allah's pleasure. That there, who will be waiting? Who will be waiting? The goodness will be waiting for you. The rewards will be waiting for you. And due to which action? Due to which action? Say it loudly. Say it. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. Remembrance. And there are two methods. What are they? They go attend the majalis of dhikr Allah. Attend the gatherings of dhikr Allah. Now you've come. Have you come yourself? Look. Look at Allah Ta'ala's miracle. Allah Ta'ala's assistance and help. Otherwise, who am I? Am I capable? I'm not even worth a taka. And here, if there was a wali of Allah sat, if a Shaykhul Hadith was sat here, or if somebody was given a dars of the Quran, then your coming here would have been good. MashaAllah, yourself, you would have come. So you can minus this from this discussion we're having, that you've come due to my reason or my request. This is minus. I didn't tell you to come. I didn't request you to come, nor did you come on my call. So this is the fadl of Allah, that He has sent you to His home and set you down. Otherwise, you say, oh, let's go, Asif Faruqi Sahib is doing dhikr. Who is he? He's an alim? No. He's not. Who is he? He just walks around on the streets. This is my capability, isn't it? I'm telling you the truth. So here, Allah Ta'ala, He has given us such fadl and karam, that who can remove the dhikr of Allah and the importance? Who can wipe away dhikr from the world? Allah says, as long as this world is in existence, and the world is there. And we're saying this as a Shaykhul Hadith, rahmatullahi, who knew the hadith. That he said, if that, all of these things, my house, yours, and our institutes, madrasas, mosques, everything is there, then there will only be existence due to one reason. There will be existence due to one reason, which is the dhikr of Allah. And we want to make our life existent, our business and everything, and they will succeed due to one thing, the dhikr of Allah. Think here, understand here, look at the importance here. Wala dhikrullahi akbar, ala wa awla wa tamma. Look at the importance, and let's look at our mizaj and our status and our capability. And alongside this, let's look at our way, our method of how we do dhikr of Allah. I don't understand here how many people have come today with the camels. Oh, let's not go today. Nobody will have in their hearts the emphasis that today I will, no way, impossible will it be that I leave the gathering of dhikr of Allah. Look, for example, a taka. If you have currency and business and transactions, we have total focus. No, 8 a.m. I've got to go to work. 10 a.m. I've got a meeting. I've got to make a schedule and a structure. I need to make profit. I need to have a balance. Even if qiyamah comes and if severity comes, whatever happens at home, but I've got to reach there. Otherwise, there'll be a big loss. If only somebody can understand that such a gathering, to leave this majlis, not to attend this majlis, to not sit in the dhikr of Allah, then what a big loss a person is missing. What a big loss a person is attaining. A person, we run around in the world like dogs, like animals, like donkeys. We are disappeared. This person, money from here, this and that action. Every second apart from this in our minds, there's nothing else we think about. Our bodies, they're falling into this trap. And we don't know anything else about the dunya, about the world. Tell me, is this right? Is this not the saza, the punishment of Allah, adab? If there's a mu'min, a believer who has iman, who reads Quran, who does sujood, who prostrates, and all of his emphasis is on dunya, world, material, money. Tell me, this is adab. This is punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many ways and forms of Allah ta'ala's azab. Not just that Allah ta'ala gives azab and Allah ta'ala does this to him or punishes him physically. There are different ways. Is this a small adab that Allah ta'ala says that you can't wake up? You can't wake up and you see him, he is healthy and he's sitting in front of you. Is this not adab? That inside he's finished. He doesn't know anything about the deen. He slept, overslept. Is this not adab? So my brothers, that when a person forgets his Lord, then let's not become like those qawms, Allah Ta'ala says. Don't become like those nations, Allah says, who forgot me, who left dhikr of Allah, who left my remembrance. Become like those who, about whom Allah Ta'ala has given the hint. In the whole Quran, Allah has given the hal of those nations. Allah Ta'ala is going to tell my brothers, dhikr of Allah is a great action. Understand the importance of the dhikr of Allah. Understand that there's so much importance. Once if a person realizes that, then it should never come out of the life, the dhikr of Allah, out of the heart, the dhikr of Allah. It should stay permanent, fikr all the time. Why? Because what are we attaining? Allah Ta'ala's pleasure with the dhikr of Allah. If a person has bad thoughts about dhikr of Allah, that it's not worth it, I'm doing dhikr for this reason, I want this to happen, that to happen, this is total rubbish, and we should eliminate this from our minds. Have one objective in front of us, the hadith we've heard, that we want to please Allah. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. We want to please Allah. Let's take the dog life out of the mind, counting money, take it out of the mind, counting dunya and wealth and riches, and bring into our minds that dua that Hazrat Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha asked. And the sahaba, what they asked for, they had nothing in their homes, nothing material, but they had the goodness of this world in their lives, the best life they had, the best life. Let's go further in this hadith. Because this hadith hasn't finished, brothers. The hadith progresses. Then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that attend the gatherings of dhikr of Allah. That was the first thing. The people who are doing dhikr in the majlis, sit with them, attend the gathering. And those people who do dhikr, go to them, go and sit with them, accompany them, and go into the majlis of the dhikr of Allah. This is the words of the hadith. Attend the majlis of dhikr of Allah. And if you're on your own, then make sure your tongue is moist or moving with the dhikr of Allah. And then further, the Prophet ﷺ said, O Abu Razin, the hadith continues. Subhanallah. What is the advice that's been given here? Allah Ta'ala, for the sake of Allah, if you keep friendship with someone, and for the sake of Allah, keep enmity with somebody, or you know, dislike with somebody. This is the second point, the third point of this hadith. So what is this? That when a person does the dhikr of Allah, when Allah does the dhikr, then he becomes so elevated by doing the dhikr of Allah, his heart will become so clean and pure. Then we come to the next stage. What is dhikr? What is the outcome? So when you do dhikr, you attend the gathering or do it yourself, then the position of your heart, the condition of your heart will be such that the standard for your life will be everything. So the pleasure of Allah is coming slowly, slowly, that you will love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. And you will have no opposition with anyone in the world. No uncle, auntie, niece, nephew, relative. You'll have a fight with nobody in life. You'll have love with nobody in life. You'll have one standard, one basis. Whoever loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will have love for that person. Whoever loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will have love for that person. And the person who doesn't have the love with Allah, the connection with Allah, you will dislike that person. So a person who loves Allah, whether he's black, white, yellow person of the world, he will be most beloved to you. And he will be more beloved to you than the close relative who is opposed to Allah, who breaks Allah's laws or disobeys Allah, is against Allah. Even if it's your brother who does this, who's the sinner, but you will have the friendship with that person who might be black or white or yellow, poor, poverty, sitting in a village, in a locality, in a dusty ground, who has dirty clothes on. You will love that person more than your own life, because he loves Allah and you are also the same. Subhanallah. So without any obstructions, obstacles, or preconditions, this will become your position. When you do dhikr of Allah, you'll be elevated to attain this objective. So the second stage will come, that your qalb, your heart will change. All other love will disappear. All enmity will finish. Your biggest enemy will be in front of you. You'll say, no problem, I have no link. I have no enmity with you. Yes, if you are Allah Ta'ala, if you're opposed to Allah, then I'm opposed to you. I won't say you are opposed to me. I won't accept you. I cannot accept you in any condition, in any worldly situation. I cannot run with you. And the person who doesn't have this in his heart, and you close your eyes and go to the left and to the right and forward, you know this person is disobedient to Allah. He is against Allah. He is opposed to Allah. And you say, no, don't do this. If we don't do this, then the world will be displeased. And if I don't follow the advice, then he's the biggest munafiq who has this. He will stand as the munafiq, as the hypocrite who has no basis, no standard. What is the standard of the mu'min, of the believer? One. The Allah's Nabi is telling us, if you want the goodness in this world and the hereafter, you should have one standard, only one basis, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that should be our one, that the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be our one objective. So how do we attain this? Is this some small thing? You cannot attain Allah Ta'ala's love just by a minor actions. This relationship will never break. Many, many millions may want to break this. Look, many relationships break due to backbiting or slandering. But if a person has a connection with Allah, then that relationship will never break. Even after death, it doesn't break. Even after death, it doesn't break. That relationship never breaks. Allahu Akbar. Is there any relationship we have with anybody like this? No, if I take out the diaries, we're sitting here, so many phone numbers, this person's number, this person's call, he's a peer by, this person peer by, and for the sake of the world, if I take the diaries out of the pockets, yani, has anybody made a connection, a relationship for the sake of Allah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have you made a relationship or contact in the world for the sake of Allah? The walking, talking is for the sake of Allah. He sees one happiness all the time. That's it. So what's being told here? That when a person does dhikr, oh Abu Razin, when you do dhikr, attend the gathering, or you do it yourself in isolation, then your standard will become such that for the sake of Allah, happiness, and for the sake of Allah, the opposition. For the sake of Allah, you will have the relationships and the friends, and for the sake of Allah, you will have the people who oppose. You will like and dislike for the sake of Allah. How can it be that a person has love with Allah, and you will dislike him, or you will dislike something he said in the world, or you will be unhappy with him? No, that love can never break, can never break. Where there is, mashallah, dislike in somebody's words, is because that person doesn't have the love of Allah. They are stuck to the world for the sake of the world. They are linked with the dunya, with the world. They don't have the link of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their lives. Allahu Akbar. So let's continue in the hadith now. MashaAllah. So do you enjoy this hadith? MashaAllah, what beautiful lesson in this hadith and fragrance. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Razin, when Rasulullah ﷺ continued in the hadith, then this will be your hal, that for the sake of Allah you will have learned, for the sake of Allah you will have dislike. Aha. And the third stage. So first stage was do dhikr of Allah. Second stage was to like and dislike for the sake of Allah. And thirdly, the person who you will see and you have a link with that person for the sake of Allah. Allahu Akbar. When you have such a bond and friendship with a person who you love for the sake of Allah, when you go to see that person, when you go to the majlis to see the person, because this is the same thing, the majlis of dhikr. So when you reach to the ziyarah and the sight of that person, don't consider it insignificant. Listen what Allah's Nabi says. When you leave your home and you come from a street or an alleyway of Bolton or from London or from Peterborough or from Manchester, wherever you come from, when you leave your home, then listen clearly. What is this majlis? What is your maqsad, your purpose? And what have you become to attain this objective? When you take a step, then 70,000 angels, they see you off. These are you, you, this is what you are, you people. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. 70,000 angels, Allah's Nabi says that they accompany you when you leave your home. They accompany you. This is our status. For which reason? Because we're going towards the dhikr of Allah. We are going to the majlis of that person we have the friendship with for the sake of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Look at this. Now today I think about my Hazrat, that Subhanallah, what a great personality he was. That's why he was so great. He had no food to eat, no clothes to wear, nowhere to sit, no straw mat to sit on. What people they were, what an individual he was, what a personality he was, and he was so happy. Not one, many people I've seen like this that I could not understand, could realize. But you were amazed at that time, we were amazed that how are they happy in life? They don't have a car, no vehicle. They don't have a desire for buildings, assets. They don't have transactions, document properties, property documents. So why are they happy, these people? That a person becomes jealous, envious, that we are running around ragged to attain happiness. We study, we have so many shops and businesses and worldly money and wealth. And there's this man sitting. He has no food to eat. He has no clothes to wear. He has no fan above his head, no air conditioning. He's sitting happy, sitting within a blanket, and he's got the marmar kurta kameez, and he's got tasbih in his hand. From morning till evening he sits in the masjid, and by force he has to leave the masjid with a deep cool sigh. Allah, what is the happiness in his life? What is it? Where's the happiness come from in his life? I'm thinking, what's up to our hearts? And he's so happy, so happy. Another individual, I went to him, and Subhanallah, I saw his life. When I used to be distressed in life, I speak about that generation. Allah Ta'ala says that these people, the faqirs, they have such an aura and a personality and a coolness emanating from them that I was distressed. A person who is distressed from dunya, when he goes and sits in a small shack, a man is sitting with a book spread around him, he has a pen in his hand, and he's sweating, and he's writing books, Naqshbandi silsila books he's writing. And I see his face, I say, Hazrat, you got no money, no wealth, no status in the world. You have nothing to your name, nothing to eat, no drinking water, nothing. And he's so happy. Subhanallah, there's nothing that can go further to his happiness. Alhamdulillah, I'm so happy. Allah's fadl and grace. He says, Allah's mercy is on me. Allah's so merciful to me. I can't return Allah's favors. For hours he praises Allah like this. Ah, this is that dua. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Because they had made Allah pleased. The dhikr of Allah had come into their lives, on their tongues. I saw their lives were moist. Their tongues were moist with the dhikr of Allah. So how can that person forget Allah and look at our games? Look at our games. Thousands of times we should say, Allah, your shukr. We should be so grateful that we come to this gathering, this majlis, and we come in the libas of the sunnah. This is not a small thing, my brothers. This is not a small thing. Allah Ta'ala has given us this reward. This is that reward, that you look at the reward of the whole world and what it contains. Allah will give big gifts, rewards to people, big masses of wealth. But this does not come close to the gift that Allah Ta'ala has given to us at this moment in time. And we're doing dhikr with ease. Allah, we are so grateful to you. Many millions of times over, your grace, your mercy, Allah, your gift, your ni'mas, my Mawla, that how you make us sit down in your majlis of dhikr. So greatly in the morning you make us sit down. In the evening you make us sit down. You give us the courage, the ability, the energy. We leave our businesses and our worldly lives and our children. How do you give us the courage, Allah, that we leave the worldly material things, that we don't go and run towards them? Ah, what can it be? This is Allah Ta'ala's fadl and grace and karam. So the hadith continues that Rasulullah says, Abu Razin, when you go to the majlis, to the dhikr, when you reach to that place where Allah Ta'ala like, you go to that person for the sake of Allah, you like him, then 70,000 angels depart with you, travel with you. And here totally the Prophet hasn't opened the envelope and told us about all the goodies within. He's just slowly opening the lid, and just by opening the lid and seeing the fragrance of this hadith, we are so happy and we are rejoicing, alhamdulillah. That this is just the titles, these are just the main subtitles of this hadith, and the envelope has not been opened from within yet. Let's continue. And do you know Abu Razin? Subhanallah. And now he was rejoicing, his mind, he lost his mind that time. And the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that do you know Abu Razin? That the angels will go with you, accompany you on the journey, and there are some other angels who then will do dua for you, O Dhakireen. The angels who do dua for you. And what is that dua? Listen to this dua of the angel, subhanAllah, of the malaika. And I've not heard a dua like this before this. What's the dua the angel is making for us? And I'll say for me, because us, because we're sitting and dhikr at this moment in time, what is the dua that the angel does? He recites, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the dua of the angel, he doesn't do. Millions of angels are reciting this dua. Many trillions are doing this dua. They're saying, Allah, this action that this man is doing, he's doing these actions to create a link with you, Allah. Subhanallah, the angels are saying this. Allah, this dhakir is going to dhikr, he's going to this man to sit and learn dhikr, he's going to your friend of Allah, and he's doing this to create the connection with you, Allah. So we request you, Allah, can you make this person yours and accept him in your court? Aha, where the boat started, the ship, and where is it going? And eventually, Allah Ta'ala says, go, I make you mine. And if Allah Ta'ala makes us his, then we have pleased Allah. So subhanAllah, will we do dhikr or not, brothers? We won't run away, will we? We won't make excuses, will we? Good, mashallah. Even if the dhikr of Allah is millions of miles away, then attend it. Thousands of miles away, attend it. Life is short. And as I said to you about the person who was parting, and he looked back in his life and he said, if only I spent time in pleasing Allah. If only I had done dhikr. And if only, that's the regret of the time. They say subhanAllah loudly. SubhanAllah. Brothers, the regret should not come in our lives at the time of death. Rather, we should say, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, I'm departing with great success. Why should we regret? Do you want to regret? Brothers, don't allow 1% of regret to come into your lives at the time of death. Turn and look back at your life and don't regret that I never left dhikr. I never left the sunnah of Rasulullah SAW. I never argued with anybody. I continued in my mission straight. That's it. Not 1.01% of regret should come in our lives. And this happens when people depart from the world. They leave the world while they're smiling. They say, subhanallah, I'm departing from the world and successful. Ha ha. And listen to a final word. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sealed this hadith. Do you remember this hadith, the points of Maida? And the final point, Rasulullah says that, look, the angels will do dua for you. And then after this, listen. Rasulullah said, listen. That listen clearly. That we are being told this and we are being addressed. And what a great point Rasulullah is making. Listen to this clearly. Clearly, this is not the words of a Maulvi, of a Mawlana. These are the words of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Open your ears, lift your ears and listen. Rasulullah said, listen. I will tell you, you listen, you listen, you listen, you listen. Wherever this word reaches for everybody, listen. Rasulullah said, listen. That your body, if you bring this action onto your body, then do it. Bring this action of dhikr onto your body and do it. End of story. No great advice that I've told you everything. I've given you the formula. Now bring these actions into your life. Then do it if you can. Do not regret tomorrow. Do not regret tomorrow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our life, may Allah ta'ala lift up at the antennas of our ears. We are so lazy with regards to amal and action. We are so lazy. Our aql is diminished and finished. Nothing do we understand what is right and what is wrong, what is beneficial and what gives loss. We have just one routine, dunya, dunya, dunya. We know nothing else. Let's do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah ta'ala opens the ruh of our eyes so we can understand. And our hearts, so may Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do amal on these words. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.